It didn't seem to be an adventurous morning. I'm not sure. The other ones, I woke up and the septic tank had overflowed. But this one, it seemed to be an unadventurous morning. I don't remember what it was, but I remember I walked outside and set out in the shaded area and read Proverbs chapter 8. And when I did, it just kind of, I've read it many times before, but it just kind of came alive a little different than usual. And as I was just there, I wrote some notes down in the margin of my Bible through the chapter and kind of outlined the chapter and thought through it for a little while. And so I want to kind of give you that outline tonight and maybe be a help to you. The title of the message is Wisdom. And so I just kind of want to talk to you a little bit about wisdom tonight. I'm probably going to spend about at least 3 nights talking about wisdom, or 3 days talking about wisdom, 3 different messages. I don't know when they'll be, but this will be the first one. Then I'm going to give you a second one about just a little bit about how do you know if you're walking in wisdom. And then the last one I want to give you is a message about wisdom that's being misused. And so this first one I just want to give you is just wisdom. So I want you to look with me in Proverbs chapter number 8, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." So tonight, just going to talk to you a little bit about wisdom. But the first thing I want you to see in this, as I was outlining it, is this first point is this. Wisdom's cry. What wisdom is crying out. Wisdom is really, I preached a message the other day to you on God is speaking. Are you listening? And I wasn't sure how well that went across. Somebody wrote us the other day and asked, could you mail me a CD of that message? I don't know what they need it for, but they wanted a copy of it. And I hope it'd be a help to you. I've thought about it several times since I preached it, that God is speaking. Are you listening? And I asked you, the second thing I asked you is, God is speaking. Are you looking? Because some things he's speaking in the Word of God. He's speaking in sermons. He's speaking in the sense of the Holy Spirit dealing with you. There's all types of way that the Lord's trying to speak to you and tell you things for your life. The question is, are you listening? And here he's saying wisdom is crying out. It's yelling. It's extending its voice, trying to get someone to listen to wisdom that will help direct their life. And people are just passing right by, not really even listening. And so he's saying it's crying out. So I ask you, are you listening? Wisdom or God speaking, in this case, wisdom speaking. Are you listening? Then I ask you, are you looking? Because if you'll look around on a daily basis as things you see, you'll see some things and realize you can see wisdom in a lot of things. I'll give you one that just popped in my head just now. Have you ever been sitting in traffic and you look over to your left and right, the lane to your left and right, and say, that lane seems to be moving faster than I'm moving. And what you do is you're just thinking, I got to get there. So you move over to this lane. And if you're like me, that lane will always stop. And where you used to be will actually go farther than what you are, right? And then you get over. And actually what you've done is you've gotten a mile behind by the time you get all this stuff done. And that's just, I've looked at that before and said, now that's wisdom speaking. Just stay in the lane you've been given, and you'll get to your destination. Stop trying to move here and there. And that was God speaking to me in wisdom. Hey, just stay where I've put you. You don't have to keep trying to change lanes all the time because I'm slowing you down. I'm slowing you down for a purpose. Just stay where you're supposed to be. If you're watching, wisdom will be speaking to you at all times. And so I asked you the other day, wisdom speaking, are you listening? Wisdom's speaking, are you looking? And then last thing I asked you is, wisdom is speaking, are you learning? Are you putting those things into practice in your life? So in this place, what he's saying is, it's crying out, it's extending its voice, it's trying to get you to look at it, and we just pass right on by. So wisdom's cry. Wisdom cry. It said it's standing at the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. Where you go, it's standing there. It's in the way that you're traveling. It cried at the gates, at the entering in and the coming out. It's standing there trying to get your attention. And for most of us, we just walk right on past wisdom and never pay attention to it. And we're missing out on quite a bit. So wisdom's cry. But then I want you to look at verse number 6. I want you to see the rest of this, because we're going to look at all this chapter, but kind of quickly. Chapter 6, look at this, says, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. And it goes on, and I'm going to go through each one of these, but I want you to see, first was wisdom's cry, but second is wisdom's claim, because wisdom's going to claim to be able to do some things in your life. And so I want you to see what it's claiming it can do. If you would just listen and look at it, it claims to be able to do some very specific things. One of the things it says there in verse number 6, it says it will speak excellent things and right things to you. And then in verse 7, it says it will speak truth and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. And then verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Can I tell you something? If you'll get a hold of wisdom, everything you get from wisdom, especially from the wisdom that is from God, will be nothing but good for you and for your life and for your family. The word of God will be nothing but profitable. It says there's no wickedness, there's no frowardness, which means it's going the opposite direction, the wrong way. There's no perverseness. If you would just stick with wisdom, you would be able to escape all those types of things that are happening in your life. It says in verse number 9, watch this, they are all plain to him that understandeth and right to them that findeth knowledge. Can I say something else? It's plain. It's right. You say, what do you mean when it's plain? I mean, it's this. It's easy. It's easy to see. It's open. You know what? People talk about, oh, the Bible's hard. Bible's not hard. Bible's not hard. Mark Twain, I wrote this down. Mark Twain made this statement. He's reported to make this statement. It's not the parts of the Bible I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand. See, people read the Bible, I don't get it. Now, if you would just, the things that you do get, if you'd begin to put those in practice in your life, God will begin to reveal you some other things. And then you can continue to build and build and build. But if you'll just read the book and things that stand out to you, that speak to you, you'll begin to put them in practice in your life, then you'll start to see more wisdom and more wisdom and more wisdom. He said it's plain to them that have understanding. The ones that walk in this and begin to understand it, these things become just very plain to them. They're open. Can I tell you something? God's will is not hidden from you. He goes, I'm trying to look for God's will. God's will is very plain. It's to do the things he's got in his book. And you just put those things in practice in your life. Verse number 10 and 11, watch what he says. Receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Can I tell you, it's better than anything else you can find in the world. This is what's interesting, though. It's better than riches, than gold, than rubies, or anything that you can desire. But you know what? We spend most of our time not crying out for wisdom or not seeking for wisdom or not searching for wisdom. We're looking for wealth. We're looking for prosperity. We're looking for fame. We're looking for all those types of things. And we're digging and searching for those things instead of digging and searching for the things that really matter, and that's wisdom and the Word of God. Hold your place there and look at Proverbs chapter number 2. Proverbs chapter number 2. Kind of what we're really looking for by how much time we spend in the things of God. Proverbs chapter number 2, look at verse number 1 through 6. Watch what it says. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge. See, it's crying after you. If you would cry after it, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. See, what are you digging for and searching for? What are you spending your time trying to achieve in life when what you should be doing is trying to find ways to get more wisdom from God? The claim is that it's better for you. You say, well, it'd be really good if I got rich. It'd be really good if you got wisdom. That's the most important thing. He said, it will be better for you than all those other things. So Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse number 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I had to look that word up. You might not know it either, so I had to look it up. Prudence is just this. It means wisdom applied to practice. So this is what he says. He says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, meaning I, wisdom, I'm found in a person applying things practice of their life. That's where you're going to find the wisdom. I wish them dwell with prudence, putting things into practice, and find knowledge. Watch this, it's very interesting. And find out knowledge of witty inventions. It's very good. So it dwells with prudence and finds out knowledge of witty inventions, meaning this, it gives insight into some things that could harm you in your life. When you get the Word of God, when you get the principles of the Word of God, when you get wisdom, look at back at Proverbs chapter 2 and look at verse number 10 really quickly. Proverbs chapter 2, look at verse 10. I'm telling you what wisdom will do for you, why it's better than silver and gold and rubies and its claim of what it can do. Proverbs 2, verse 10, when wisdom entered into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Now watch what it's going to keep you from. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. Now, so it's going to deliver you from evil men. But watch what else it's going to do in verse number 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her returneth again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and to keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. What will wisdom do for you? Why is it better than silver and gold? Why? What's its claim that's making? It will preserve you from evil in your life. It'll keep you out of trouble. If you would just, look, what are we saying? I'm saying if you would get the principles of the Word of God and you'd begin to put them in practice in your life, it would keep you out of a lot of danger and a lot of problems, around, away from evil men and away from strange women. That's what it'll do. But you say, how do I do it? It's crying out with the very principles to help us in our life. But we spend more time searching for other things than we do from the Word of God. And then we wonder, how did I get caught in this trap? How did I end up in this mess? Well, wisdom was crying out, but you just walked right past it and didn't listen to it. And if we would have spent time digging into the truths of this Word, and then he talked about prudence, applying the truths of this Word into our life and actually doing them, not just being hearers, but being doers of the Word, it would help us to be able to avoid evil and strange and wickedness. It'd be able to help us to do that. And so that's what it says it does. In Hebrews chapter 5, you don't have to turn there. It's a verse I've quoted many times, but it talks about that when you should be teachers, you have need that one teach you again because you've become dull of hearing. In Hebrews 5, it talks about that. A whole group that they've been taught, but they've heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it, and now it's just falling on deaf ears. They're not really doing anything with it. They've heard it for years, but they're not ever doing anything, and now they just become dull of hearing. And he says, you have need that someone reteach you. And this is what he says in verse 13 of Hebrews 5. He says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. They're still stuck on baby stuff, is what he's saying. For he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even to those who by reason of use, meaning they've been using the Word of God, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, when you start using the Word of God in your life, and you're really making application and using it, it'll help you to be able to spot, that's not good, and that is good for my life. I should let this in my life or my family, and I shouldn't let this into my life or my family. But that's only going to come by you taking the Word of God and actually making application and walking in it and putting it into practice. Not just being, listen, it won't help you just because you hear it crying. You're going to have to start putting something into your life. It's crying, but it's also claiming to be able to do something. This is all the claims. Verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. That's what he says he does. Wisdom will be able to help you to get away from all those types of things. Let me say this. You will not find a person walking in wisdom who is also dabbling in all these things he just said. If you're having the pride and the arrogancy, and a froward mouth means you're speaking perverse things and lies and deceit and all those types of things like that. If all that's going on in your life, I'm going to tell you something. You're not walking in wisdom, because wisdom is contrary to all those things. If you can't control what you're saying with your mouth, then you're not. That's going to be a point in one of the new messages that's coming up. If you can't control what you're saying in your mouth, then you can bet wisdom is not in you right now. That doesn't mean you don't have wisdom at some point. But what I'm saying to you is, if you are just running loose with your mouth, a froward mouth, a perverse mouth, and you're saying things you shouldn't say, whether that's lying, whether that's backbiting, or whatever it is, then there's wisdom is not in you at that time. There's no wisdom. Or if there's pride or there's arrogance, you say, what is that? Let me tell you what pride is and arrogancy is, so you'll know. Pride is conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often in contempt of others. Let me show you the way it appears. It appears in men in thinking too highly of themselves, in speaking too well of themselves, in despising others, in setting up and trusting to their own abilities. This is what it is. Arrogancy. What I understand arrogancy is how pride takes form. It's the act of trying to overshadow others or pull others down. So if you're having that type of issue in your life, you can bet you're not walking in wisdom, because wisdom is contrary to those things. But then look at verse number 14. Watch what it says. It's its claim of what it does. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding and I have strength. That's what you get it from wisdom. You get understanding and strength. But watch these next little few phrases from 15 down to 21. What does it give you strength to do? Watch what it says. By me, this is its claim. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Now, the first thing I want you to see about this is this. Wisdom gives counsel, understanding, and strength. For what purpose? To buy it, you can reign and rule better by it. Now, you say, how does that really apply to me? Let me say this. Wisdom, if you'll apply wisdom in your life, it can elevate you to positions of authority. Wisdom will help elevate you to positions of authority. And then wisdom will help you when you are in a position of authority. Wisdom will help you do it correctly. Let me tell you. The Bible, this book, is filled from cover to cover with wisdom. So here I am. I'm a person that's in some type of rule or some type of authority as the pastor of a church. Can I find something in the Bible to help me understand how to rule or how to hold my position correctly? Sure I can. The Bible tells me in a few places. In fact, one is 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'll read it to you in verse number 2. It tells me this. This is where I get my wisdom to learn how to lead better, is this. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Watch this. Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. You know what I'm learning? When I will apply wisdom to my life, it'll tell me how, not only this, wisdom will get me to a place that I can be in a position of authority, but wisdom also shows me how to rule in that position of authority. Wisdom does. Wisdom will help me see, listen, the Bible talks about the pastor or the preacher or the servant of God, but it's talking to pastors and preachers, should be gentle, apt to teach, and not striving. So the idea is I've got to learn, how do I do it? Because the military would tell me how to lead somebody. I know what the military says for how to lead. You can ask some guys I used to lead. They hated me. I understood what it meant to lead and tell them, you'll do this. No, I'm not going to do it. Yes, you are going to do it. You don't think you're going to do it, but you're about to do it. Now, it told me how to lead, but that way of leading doesn't work with a bunch of people in church. You know why? Because you're a bunch of volunteers. I can't say we're taking away your pay and your rank or whatever, your time off. Doesn't work that way. There's a difference. And plus, this is the other thing. I'm not in charge of you. God's in charge of you. I've been placed here as an under-shepherd to lead you and guide you and direct you and help you stay on the path you've got for your life. Now, so he's given me that, and then he's given me wisdom on how to do that. But here is my job. It's crying out to me as a leader how to do it. I've got to listen, and then I've got to apply it to my life. And if I don't, I'll be the wrong type of leader, and I won't be in leadership for very long. Same thing is true. Now watch now. It's easy to say it like that. Let me say this. The same thing is true for fathers and mothers in this room. Same exact thing. The Bible speaks to fathers and mothers on ways to be a wise leader of your home. Now, it's crying out. But the question is, are you digging into it and seeking it and crying out for it? Because it's there. It's all right here in the book. Now, what you've got to do is dig and seek and then not only listen to it, but then begin to apply it to your life and begin to walk in it, and it will begin to help you rule your home better. The Bible says, you know this verse in Ephesians 6:4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." You've got, that's just one of many verses for parents, for fathers specifically. You've got wisdom. You've got the very wisdom of God speaking to you. Think about this. If I was going to tell everybody, God is going to be right here. No doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. God's coming here this Sunday. He's going to sit right here. People would be coming from all over the world, flying in to fill up this place and to rip the tiles off, to come down just to hear what might God say. Can I tell you something? He's already said it. And what we do is we have it sitting and put a coffee cup on top of it, and we don't think anything of it. It's right there crying out, "Would you please open me up and listen to me? Would you please apply it? I can do a lot of great things for you if you'll just open me up and apply it." It's all right there. So wisdom has the ability to help reign and rule. But in chapter 8, look at verse number 16. No, but verse number 17. "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Now, I've always thought about that as like early in the morning, but some people are not morning people. Some people don't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and read their Bible before they go to work. So you say, well, I'm a sinner because I didn't get up early. I don't think it's talking about they get up early to seek me. I think it means they seek early in their life and they start to walk with me. So what we need to do is we need to be having this. Listen, he says, wisdom, this is wisdom saying, "I love them that love me." If you'll fall in love early on with wisdom, wisdom will love you. And wisdom will help you. In verse number 18, it says, the first one was ruling and reigning by him. Look at verse number 18. It's outlined so well. Riches and honor are with me. First is ruling and reigning, but the second one is riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. But look at verse number 18. I'm going to do that one first. Is riches and honor are with me. Can I tell you what? This book tells you how to have riches and honor. Somebody says, I wouldn't mind having riches and honor. It's in here. This is where you find it. This is where you find the principles for your life for riches and honor. Let me give you a few. In chapter 10, shouldn't even be able to turn your page, but in chapter 10, in verse number 4, the Bible says this. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. What does that mean? The Bible tells you that if you will work hard, you will prosper in what you're doing. The Bible tells me and tells you that if you are lazy and you won't put forth any effort, you are not going to have anything to show at the end of the day. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, the government may say something completely different, but the Bible says if you won't work, you're not going to eat. The Bible says if you won't work, you're not going to have anything in your life. But if you will work, and you will be diligent, and you will put forth effort, and whatsoever thy hand find to do it, you will do it with all your might, you will be prosperous in this life. That's what the Bible says. Say, I'm looking for wisdom. This is it. Wisdom is right here. Riches and honor. Ephesians 4:28, you know this verse, but let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the things which are good, which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know what he's saying? You used to be someone that stole. You know what you need to do? Get wisdom and now start working with your hands so that you'll have something in your life. And you'll have enough to give to somebody else that needs as well. In Ephesians 6:5, wisdom. Wisdom is crying out. We're just not listening. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. What he's saying, if you would put into practice in your life, in your work, in your job, if you would do diligence, and you would work not just when the boss happens to be looking, but you're working as if the boss is always looking, then you would begin to prosper in your life. This would have an effect on how it works. This is wisdom crying out. Let me tell you some other things that wisdom says about riches or about you having stuff in your life. I just gave you one on Sunday night. But here's another one, being a giver. You see, that doesn't go with the world's wisdom or my original wisdom. Yeah, I know, because this wisdom is contrary to the world's wisdom. And this wisdom says, if you'll give, then you receive. Well, that doesn't sound right. I give and I receive. Yeah, but that's what the Bible says to do. That's the Bible's wisdom. And so it says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. This is what the Bible says about having something for your life. Let me give you another one. In Proverbs 22:7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Can I give you another principle the Bible has that will help you? Try to stay out of debt. I think they've been teaching that for a while. Stay out of debt. See, these are principles that the Bible has, and the Bible's crying out with these verses, and what we do is we just walk right past those verses and don't listen to them. So, they're crying out to us for us to do it. Stay out of debt. Let me give you another one. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Let me tell you this one. Having enough for today and saving for the future. This is what it says. A good man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children. Meaning this, I have what's enough for me, but I'm also putting aside in savings not only enough that's for me, but it'll be enough for me and for my children and my children's children. Working diligent and putting aside. That's what it's saying. All right, and then the last one, let me give you this. In Proverbs 23, just turn over there with me really quickly. Proverbs 23, in verse 3. Let me give you another principle that the Word of God gives you when it comes to this. Proverbs 23 and verse 3. He's talking about when thou sittest with a ruler, someone that has wealth, watch what it says. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Watch, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward the heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. I'll tell you another thing. Be content with what you've got. This is wisdom. This is wisdom that's crying out to us. Be content with what you got and stop trying to chase after money. He said it'll take wings and fly off. Wisdom is crying out. Are you listening? Wisdom's crying out. You know, when Solomon made his prayer, remember what he prayed for? God said, whatever you need. And he said, I want what? What did he ask for? Wisdom. And God said, well, you know, you could have asked for money, and you could have asked for riches, and you could have asked for fame, and you could have asked for all your enemies to be given to you, could have asked for all that, but because you asked for wisdom, watch now, because you asked for wisdom and not for wealth, I'll give you wealth. But you know how he attained the wealth? Through the wisdom. And see, that's the principle we're trying to give you. Stop trying to chase the wealth and start trying to chase wisdom, and then wisdom will provide the things you need for your life. They were getting the cart before the horse. And so in verse number of chapter 8, verse number 18, then verse number 19, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. So the next thing is his revenue is better than riches. His revenue is better than riches. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3, just very quickly. I'm trying to give you some things about wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, and look at verse number 13. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. We're talking about the revenue. What you get from wisdom is better than riches. It says, for the merchandise is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Watch what she gives you. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. So, it's better. The revenue of it is better than silver. And then verse number 20, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. So the last one I want you to give you in that is what you also get from it. What it claims to give you is righteousness. You can get a righteous living life. You say, well, I thought all righteousness came from God. Yes, all righteousness comes from God, but the righteousness that he's talking about is a daily living right, and you can find a way to live right daily by applying the wisdom that's found in the Word of God. If you'll put that in practice in your life, you'll have a righteous walk. In Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse number 28, the Bible says this, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. In Proverbs chapter number 28 and verse number 6, I'll read you one more. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. So, listen, it's better. The revenue of it is better, and the righteousness that comes from it is better for you. And the last thing he says there in that little section, so watch what it says, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. And the last thing I want you to see is the reward that comes from wisdom. The reward that comes from wisdom. If you'll apply these things to your life, you'll have a reward in heaven for these things. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, but it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. People that put his word to practice their life, they have great things waiting for them, not only in this life, but also in the life to come. There's great things waiting. But then in chapter 8, I'm not going to read all this to you, but from verse number 22 all the way down to 31, what he's going to talk about there, if you wanted to outline that and look, he's going to talk about the continuance of wisdom. Because watch what he says. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Let me tell you, this is what I'm trying to get you to see with this. There's no new thing you need to be finding. Wisdom was around at the very beginning, and wisdom will be around to the very end. We don't need anybody else giving us any kind of wisdom out there. All the wisdom we need is found right here with God. This is what we need. This wisdom, the continuance of wisdom. And then in 32 to 36, I want you to see this last part. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting for the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, against who? Against wisdom, wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me love death. See, the idea is, the last thing is wisdom's concern for you. It really is the Word of God. And the way God is, he's really concerned about your life and that you going in the right way. There is a concern from God. But see, you have the cry, you have the claim, you have the continuance of it, and you have the concern. But in about 3 minutes, let me show you this last little part in chapter 9. Watch what it says. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beast, and she hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. This is what wisdom has done. She has set forth her maidens and cried upon the highest places in the city. She's crying out again. Watch this next. I want you to watch this next couple of phrases. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, Come eat of my bread and drink of my wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. I want you to see something. Look right across at verse number 13. This is very interesting. Look at verse number 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. Now here's what's interesting. In verse 3, wisdom crieth upon the highest places of the city. The foolishness that's biding for your time, watch what it's doing. It's sitting in the high places of the city. What is it doing over here? The wisdom, who is simple? Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. What does this say? In verse 15, what foolishness is doing? To call passengers who go right on their way. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. Look back at verse number 4. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, Come eat my bread and drink the wine which I have mingled. Watch what this foolishness is saying. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. And then in verse number 5, what wisdom is saying is, Come eat of my bread and drink of my wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. But what is the other saying? Verse 18, But he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. The last thing I just wanted you to catch before we close with this thing on wisdom, this first part, is this, the counterfeit of wisdom. There's something that's trying to bide for your time and try to pull you, and it's going to claim all the same things that you can find in wisdom. Hey, you can get great reward over here. You can get great revenue over here. You can get great riches and honor over here. Just come over here. Don't hang out with wisdom. I've got some stuff over here that'll be fun, that you'll enjoy, that you need to come over here with, but you don't realize at the end of this is nothing but death and destruction. At the end of that is great wealth. Not only talking about physical wealth, but great wealth with God. There's a path, and there's two things crying out. Here we are, walking on the path. Let me tell you what gets most of our time. The foolishness gets our time. Both of them are crying out for us to just come in here and spend a little time with us. You know what gets most? If you'd be honest this evening, most of us would say, this is the truth. Foolishness gets more of my time. It's trying. It's telling me all the things I need to hear. It's a counterfeit. It's a lie. And it's biding for our time. And if we would all be honest, foolishness gets more of our time than the things of God. And we're spending more time with the wrong things. And that's what this whole little first section is saying. It's crying out. It's yelling out for you. It may be calling you by name. And what we've got, and I'm guilty of this too, is it'll be sitting off to the side on the coffee table, and we don't even pick it up. And we'll walk by on our way out the door, and it's yelling, Eric, would you just, here I am right here, I just wish you'd pick me up. I'll give you something for today. And we walk right past it, and we don't pay attention to it. You know what gets more of our attention, though? Foolishness calls out, and we say, oh, look at that over there. I think I'll spend a little time with this for a while. And that's what happens in our life. And that's why, watch, that's why we keep falling into traps in our lives. That's why we keep finding ourselves in problems and we have no ability to discern good from evil. Because we're not spending time in this, we're spending our time in foolishness. And we're not, let me say this, we're not awake to the things of God. Now, this is what's interesting to me. When somebody opens up the things of God, some people just fall right asleep. When you get them to a movie and they're wide awake watching it. What is wrong with us? Foolishness can keep us entertained and we can watch it, but someone breaks open the very words of God and we go, looking at the clock, wondering what time it's going to be over. See, that's a problem for us. If that's the case, what you need to do is check yourself and say, there's something wrong here. I've been listening to foolishness more than I've been listening to wisdom. And they're both, what I'm telling you is, both of them are calling for you. But which one are you listening to? Because the claim of wisdom is it can give you some great things in your life. for a season and then give you destruction. And that's all it does. So wisdom, that's the first message in wisdom. Let's stand on our feet. If you leave with nothing today, I just want you to see that it's crying, it claims some things. And which one are you listening to? Are you spending time with it? Not, this is a message for all of us to get. This is a message for every one of us to get a hold of. If we spent as much time feeding our soul as we do sometimes feeding our stomachs, we would be pretty spiritual folks. If we spent as much time feeding our soul as we do entertaining our flesh, we'd be pretty spiritual people. If we'd spent as much time for some, Stacy's going to get me start exercising again soon. At some point, I'm going to start it. I'm motivated to be there. I just haven't done it yet, but I'm motivated. Exercise is crying out. I just hadn't been listening very well as it was crying. But if we spent as much time exercising our spiritual self as we do our physical self, we'd be much more spiritual people. So we put a lot of effort into a lot of things that's biding for our time, and we don't put any time. I'm not saying you've got to spend the whole day reading your Bible and praying, but I am saying you need to be putting some effort into the wisdom part. And more effort into the wisdom of making sure you're getting wisdom than you do anything else. The other things aren't bad. They aren't bad things. But you need to be spending time with wisdom. We all do. Lord God, Father, bless us and help us tonight, each one of us, from me, from the front to the back, from side to side, everybody in this place, even the teens in the teen building. Father, I pray you'd do a work tonight in our hearts. Father, you, just to think about this is unbelievable. But you, the God that created everything that is and exists and did exist and will exist, that you have written your words exactly what you want in the pages of this book. And it's everything we need to know for this life and for the life to come. And we don't spend any time in it. And Lord, we say we love you, we say we want to be wise, but we just don't spend any time in it. So, Father, I pray tonight it rejuvenate in each one of us a desire to dig into your wisdom once again. For everybody in here, there was probably a day that they were pretty excited about opening your book and reading it. Father, I pray that you'd renew that spirit of just an excitement about reading the things you've given us. And, Father, some will be overwhelmed. There's so many pages and so many things in here. Father, I pray you'd help them just get a hold of one or two things right now they begin to do in their life. Just one or two things. Maybe it's just to start praying. Maybe it's just to start being a better friend to somebody. Whatever it is, I pray that you'd help them to get one or two things and begin to walk in it, and then you'd give them some more. Father, help us. Help us, Father. We love you. We do thank you for your word. And Father, help us to just start to dig in it and apply it to our lives in a better way. Father, we need wisdom for this life. Help us now. In Jesus' name. Amen. She's going to play. Why don't you come pray?